time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, October 21st, 2019. We have to say that because we have people downloading a podcast from over a year ago. They go, Lickin, mention the years. Okay, we got it in there. October 21st, 2019, and we're thrilled to have you here for another great podcast. So excited, especially when Paul and I were looking over the stats. We were getting ready to head into the annual MBA conference starting on Sunday. We're actually going to be at Empower starting on Saturday, this coming Saturday, recording testimonies of all these powerful women there. Alice and I will be there in the recording booth. If you're there listening to the podcast, swing by. I want to record an interview with you. But we're excited about the upcoming MBA conference. So leading up to it, we're going to be talking about social media, what you can do to communicate with a larger audience, what a difference it can make. Joining us on the podcast today is Ryan Hill of Resource TV, resource.tv, and David Savage. If you know anything about these two, if you're out on social media, they're all over it. And we're going to be talking about how you can be all over it. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Now, today we're talking about us being all part of the Industry Syndicate. If you are not checked out industrysyndicate.com and all the podcasts that are associated with it, and guess what? They just launched their new app. So you can listen to myself and the Lickin' on Lending podcast. All the podcasts are out there through the new Industry Syndicate app. Pretty cool stuff. Encourage you to check it out. Mitch Cohen, the Director of Public Relations and Marketing Communications at Black Knight, just put out this news. They just launched a new product, Regulatory Assist, designed to help lenders make sure they're in compliance with federal and state regulations. You know, we did a podcast on this on September 2nd. Go back and we did an important podcast on reg tech and how regulation is coming into the tech industry and the regulators that are watching over us. Go back and listen to that podcast. Really fun. We actually got a state regulator come on the podcast. Check out the video that we've uploaded on our show page as well as on our advertiser page. So grateful to have Black Knight as an advertiser, as well as the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Going to be here at the conference. Coming up again starting on Sunday, as well as Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage home loans, as well as the home of some of the top LOs of the country. And then there's Finastra. I love the third largest, I love these guys, third largest fintech company in the world is Finastra. They've got their Fusion Mortgage Bot solution, automatically addresses compliance issues, does a great job. But I love the thing I love the best is what they do in their mobile app. Check it out at Finastra.com, as well as Rezex Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. Check out Ken Jones's interview that we did on September 16th, the three pillars of successful leadership. Check that out. Also, the two co-ops that we're a part of, Lenders One, is a powerful co-op, one of the first ones, and now TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative, is out. Both these co-ops create competitive advantages for you where you can meet both vendors and lenders in an up-close, personal, much more intimate environment than some of the big conferences. They both support the MBA. I encourage you to check out Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. I say also, we're pleased to be in affiliation with CMLA, Community Mortgage Lenders of America, as well as Velma, an efficient email marketing platform we use to get the word out, as well as Ken Perry and our friends at Knowledge Coop. Love those characters. And then Vidyard, a powerful video communications platform, as well as AI Assist powered by Conversica. And finally, we're always so grateful to have Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe here for each of their weekly contributions to this podcast. Let's get over to listen to what Rob Van Raphorst has prepared for this week's MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, CFPB Director Kathy Kraninger appeared before the House Financial Services Committee and the Senate Banking Committee for her semi-annual testimony before Congress. Specifically, during her Senate appearance, Kraninger answered questions about the constitutionality of the CFPB's leadership structure and the QM patch. Both Senators Pat Toomey and Bob Menendez questioned her about the future of the patch. Menendez said he hoped the final QM patch for the CFPB would provide the same benefits to would-be homeowners as the current system. Kraninger said she would like to see a smooth transition away from the patch and that the Bureau is seeking an input as to how much time would be necessary for a possible extension. Also last week, FASB clarified that implementation of the new CECL standard will be delayed for small public companies and private companies that are not SEC filers. These companies can delay implementation until December 15, 2022, but will have the option of early adoption. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good job, Rob. Always love it when he comes on. See him and so many of our friends from the MBA at the conference. And while you're at the MBA website or at the conference, be sure to sign up for Mortgage Action Alliance. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to have your voice heard. They've created an app you put on your phone. You can do it on your computer where you have the ability to contact your senator with a few clicks, give opinions about mortgage matters that are before the Senate and House. We're going to hear more about that from Alice Alvey in just a minute. Les Parker's segment, the TM Spotlight, giving a macro view of the markets.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by Ainsworth Advisors. The world of doves, the trades that pop, to be a part of the wave can't stop. Does the partial trade agreement between the U.S. and China lead to a long-term deal and international commerce stability? Does Brexit pop or glide to an economic juggernaut? For now, long-term treasuries are sad, while mortgages are ambivalent. The dove wave can't stop. Which leads to things far more shocking than anything we ever knew. Right on cue. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Good job, Les.
Can't stop the spirits when I need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
Yes, it's more than just a read-through. Good job, Gary Canterbone, who does the production of that. Joe Farr, good to have you in here, my friend. Now we have to talk to someone live, nothing pre-recorded. But we've got you here to tell us what's on the market this week. So what you got for us, friend?
Looking at the markets right now, MBS prices are down just a little bit. If MBS prices are down, that means yields on mortgages are up. Stocks are a little higher. That's good to see. There's no significant economic data on the calendar today. There has been lots of Brexit news, both over the weekend and today, as British Parliament rejected Boris Johnson's negotiated deal, and that forced him to send the EU a request for an extension, which he did reluctantly. Protesters in London are beginning to call for a new vote on leaving the EU or not. So there's a lot going on there, and it will really come to a high pitch over this week and certainly next week as the October 31st deadline approaches. Trade talks with China. You know, they appear to be moving in a good direction. At least that's what everyone's voicing, both the Chinese representatives and the U.S. So that's a good move. Looking at last week, Dave, it was really a pretty quiet week compared to the prior weeks, which saw lots of volatility. Mortgage rates were virtually unchanged, as were stocks. So just not a lot going on last week that would push the market. The economic data was mixed. The biggest number was the retail sales data. It fell from August when a small gain was expected, but August was revised higher, so that kind of helped reduce the sting of the lower number in September. Housing data, the National Association Home Builders survey showed that home builders were more optimistic about the housing market than expected. Starts of single-family residences kind of proved this to be true as the number of new starts grew again this month. Nice to see that the housing starts in September were 4.3% higher than last September. So it does show the builders out there providing more supply. Leading economic indicators, not a typically a real market moving event, but I want to point out that this report, which attempts to predict what's going to happen 6 months out in the economy, both the September report and the revised August report reported slowing economic activity ahead. So And then looking at the week that is coming up, we have more housing data coming out on Tuesday. Existing home sales comes out on Thursday. New home sales comes out. They both are expected to show a small drop in activity. Then consumer sentiment comes out on Friday. This is the second look at the survey in the month. And you know, with the weak retail sales number, the market's going to really be interested in seeing if the consumer is still relatively happy. So consumers been driving this economy. Durable orders comes out on Thursday. The ECB meeting is on Thursday. This is Mario Draghi's last meeting, but really no new policies are expected to come from that. Of course, U.S. politics and trade talks will continue to make headlines. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a lot of Brexit activity. The uncertainties live on. The EU officials are set to consider Great Britain's request for an extension of the 1031 deadline. That approval is not certain, by the way. And then Boris Johnson is still trying to get his deal passed by the British Parliament. As it would affect our markets and, more importantly, mortgage rates, a no-deal Brexit would increase uncertainties. And when that happens, typically stocks go down and people seek the relative safety of bonds, including government-guaranteed mortgage-backed securities, and that could lead to an improvement in mortgage rates. So that's my talk for the day.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. Appreciate you being here. Yeah. Have been for over 10 years. If you looked at the statistics of what we just discovered out with the reach of a podcast, it's crazy. You've been a big part of it. Thank you, Joe, for being here today and for the last 10 long years. Short years. They seem like they've gone so quickly. Anyway, appreciate it. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, run over to Scott Gordon and have him tell us a little bit about the science of sales. Scott?
How many times have you been asked, what do you do? Too many to count. Most people answer with their job title. I'm a loan originator. Boring. Introducing yourself is an opportunity to communicate with story. Here are three steps to creating your story. 1. Invent a main character for the listener to play a part in the story. 2. Create an easy-to-follow series of events that pose a problem for the main character. And 3. Finish your story with a one-step description of what you do to solve the problem. When someone asks, what do? You could reply, imagine that you're a traveler in a foreign land and what lies between you and your destination is a wilderness of quicksand, thorns, and overgrown trails. People can't brave the wilderness alone. To make it to the other side, you need a guide, and I am that guide. My team has the best track record of getting travelers through the wilderness without getting stuck in quicksand or lost. 3 steps to a simple story to answer one of the most common questions asked. This sounds too good to be true. It's not. It's just the science of sales.
Good job, Scott. Appreciate that. Check out openmortgage.com. Great company all the way around. Alice Alvey. Good to have you with us. Alice is CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage, Bill Cosgrove Company. She's here with this week's legislative update. Alice, looking forward to seeing you here this weekend and having you at the sound booth with me, recording all these interviews with all these powerful women. But what you got for us on the regulatory update?
Well, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to heading to Austin for the conference. It's always a great event to, you know, get to catch up with everybody. Well, a little known rule went into effect on October 9th. It was really just going to affect a lot of portfolio lending. But, you know, as loan officers, I know we have a lot of loan officers who listen to this podcast. You wonder, you know, how come one lender can do something that I can't? And so I thought, well, it might be worth pointing this out because I haven't talked about appraisals in a really long time. So this little rule essentially says that if the property is valued at $400,000 or less, an appraisal is no longer required. And obviously, it has the caveat that the lender is still required to have safe and sound banking practices. And all this comes from the FDIC, the OCC, and the Federal Reserve. So it's really related to the banks that many independent mortgage bankers compete with out there. So this particular small little rule really is only going to apply to their portfolio loans, nothing that they're going to sell to Fannie or Freddie. Could be big bank, small bank. But whenever you might have that deal where someone's going, hey, if I go over here, they're telling me I don't need an appraisal, and when you're running DU and LP, you're getting that you need an appraisal all day long. It's most likely some type of a portfolio product that you're competing with. Most lenders aren't going to do it for an end loan, but you never know. But certainly it gives them an option for HELOCs. So with that, I just wanted to give everybody that little piece that kind of slipped under there. The prior number was about 250,000, and now it's changed all the way up to 400. So you might run into it a little bit more. While I was out there checking about appraisers, you know, we talk about the age of appraisals. I thought, well, I'd love to know what the facts are. So the beginning of this year, the Appraisal Institute published that there are about 78,000 appraisers, and literally 70% of them are over, here's my age thing, are 71% are over age 51. 71% of appraisers are 51 or older. And that is also the same group who has the most experience. So when you look at the number of years of experience, that group obviously has any more than 15 years experience. And then the experience just disappears. So it's not just an age problem. It's not many people have that many years experience, and we're going to lose a lot of that in the coming years. So a couple of quick tidbits there on appraisals. Last but not least, I wanted to throw in a comment about Rob Van Rathborst's report, where he mentioned about Kathleen Craninger reporting. And I want everybody to recognize it's the first time publicly in a big forum we've heard the word extension for the QM patch. So
yes.
I kind of like, we said that last week where we started talking about this, you know, with the, that we should probably plan that. We don't want to plan for an extension, but it, this late in the game to try and come up with a solution that's a little further along, looks like an extension in our future.
I would guess it is, without a question.
So, Dave, back to you.
Thank you, Alice. Looking forward to getting together with you both at the table and just spending some good time. I appreciate you so much for being here. Say hi, Bill. And for those of you who did not listen to last week's interview that we had with Bill Cosgrove talking about leadership and what he's doing for his company and then also his involvement at Empower, it is very inspirational, some of the stuff he's doing. I really love the leadership he brings, the innovation he brings. You're with a great leader and a great company, Alice, and I'm so grateful we have the friendship that we do between all of us. Appreciate it so much.
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Cube. Do you need to teach a course? Have you considered maybe using the Socratic method? See, it's a process of using questions that engage learners to question their assumptions in order to eliminate contradictions. The primary goal is not to have listeners try to answer unanswerable questions, but to get them to develop critical thinking and to keep them engaged in your topic. Have you got some training to do? Check out the Knowledge Cube for fun and easy video-based training for the mortgage professionals out there. And it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
Be sure to check him out at knowledgecoop.com. But I want to get over to Alan Pollack and get today's tech update. Alan, how are you doing, friend?
I am doing good. Great to be here. Excited for today's hot topic. A couple things,
yes.
David. This one's a big question for you. Two parts. One, would you like $128,000 in your bank account? That's probably a yes, right?
Yeah, yes. Rhetorical. That defines rhetorical question.
Do you have a kind and friendly face?
That's debatable.
Yes, right?
It's an older face. Well, okay, so we'll say yes. Yes. All right.
Well, there
can't wait to see where you're going with this.
Yeah, there's a company out there right now. It's an anonymous private company due to NDAs. They're offering one person $128,800 for the rights to use their face on a range of robots. The company wants to use them to humanize a robot. So think of some of those funny TV commercials we've seen with, Allstate has one. They use the face of the guy from The Office on it. Pretty funny. Well, they want to humanize a robot. They want to make it a virtual friend for elderly people. And due to the this vocation, they need a kind and friendly face. So anyways, if you're interested in that, you can just Google kind and friendly face, $128,000, and it will come up
there
and you can apply.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's come up with something new.
I may submit it for you, Dave, and we'll just split the money if you get it.
No.
Yeah. So two things
I don't know where that would
talk
go.
About.
Yeah, what you got?
Two things I wanted to chat about today really quick. One is customer experience on the heels of really this entire year and what we talked about last week, and then also NBA National, which we know is coming up in less than a week. So let's start with customer experience. We heard last week, plus it was all over the news, that Fannie Mae had put out a new article, as they do those surveys quite often. And what they found is that lenders prefer to invest in improvements to their customer-facing technology because it offers a better return than similarly spending on back-end processes, right? It doesn't mean that lenders don't want to spend the money on the back end, but I think they have more control on the front end, and customers are changing today. And so this survey basically showed to improve customer experience was 45% the response. To improve back-end efficiencies was only 36%. So both ranking kind of high, but improve both front-end and back-end was only 16%. So that's where the title of the article comes from. You want to check it out. It really is relatable because as we talk amongst ourselves across the industry, we can't do everything at the same time. There's technology challenges. There's partner relationship challenges. I think as a lender, you have more control over the front end to some extent. So that's really important. And actually, David, if you remember last year or this year, earlier this year, we talked about how many touches it takes for a loan officer sometimes to actually get the lead, how quickly you can respond and how quickly you can interact. And chatbots and other technology played a part in that, limiting the amount of times or automating that. And actually, our guests at the Hot Topic probably have a lot to say about that today. Anyways, David, there was an article at Forbes, really cool, talked about the top 10 transformations for 2020. It's generic across all industries, but I want to mention it because it's really relatable to ours. First, it talks about 5G and faster Wi-Fi, right? As we implement AI and robotic process automation, all these different things, more connectivity, better computing capabilities, that's really important. It talked about what we talk about all the time, right? Remember our nowhere to use technology acronym, analytics, right? What Forbes said is companies that still aren't investing heavily in analytics in 2020 probably won't be in business in 2021. Now, I wouldn't take that to heart because I think they're talking more generically about companies that just aren't doing anything. We use a lot of data in the mortgage industry, but we don't use enough, right? When you think about your front end customer portal, are you really understanding where customers drop off? Do you understand where they spend the most time? Are they stuck on certain pages? All of those things equivalent to important data and analytics that you need to look at. In addition, what they're saying is there's so much more data to be collected, processed, and turned into insights, right? And to remain competitive. So we understand that. It's just a really important topic across all industries. They basically say flying blind is no more, is like following your gut, not a viable option. All right, moving on, AI and machine learning are big, Forbes says. They also say blockchain. We're seeing that in our industry, right? I think we've moved past where it's a thing that we think may happen. We're seeing people use it. We're going to continue to see that expansion. So blockchain, I think, is really important. RPA, they also mention, as we know, RPA is also super important. Yep. Conversational AI is really big.
Robotic processing engine. Robotic RPA, processing automation.
That's right. Yep. And what they're saying is that really gets a low-hanging fruit. But then you've got projects like Microsoft Conversational AI, like IBM Watson and others. They're trying to really determine the difference between human and digital voices and actually have complex conversations. And connected vehicles. This one's great. I don't know how many of you have seen Waze. They did an integration. We talked about it November of 17, but they did an integration with HomeSnap. And so when you're stopped, it actually will give you, based on geographic or geo-targeted ads, information that there's an open house nearby. And if you haven't used Waze on a Sunday and stopped at a street corner, you want to just try it because it works. It's great. And Waze, in 2017, David, had 90 million users worldwide. And I think it's becoming more and more of a common thing that people have on. So anyways, we need to humanize technology. And it really isn't just all about technology. It's about the people process. We need to be part of it. We need to empower technology to work. You remember the Fannie Mae survey that was out there where, customers want to do it on their own, but they still want to have live chat. They want to be instant message. They want quick turnaround times. They want to know somebody's there. And, we have Dave Savage on today from Mortgage Coach. I mentioned to him earlier, I'm going to give him a shameless plug. You know, his technology is something, and we've talked about it on past podcasts,
right,
where it truly enables you to better facilitate the experience and the conversation using technology with the consumer. You're not giving yourself away. You're not turning a back to it, but it actually enables you both to be smart together. And so technology is really important, and we'll continue to see it go down that path. David, I just want to end on the MBA National. It is such an important event of our year. It is extremely important to meet with your vendors and partners. So I just want to leave us with this one thing. You know, meetings are short. If you're meeting with a tech vendor, I've been on that side. know your objectives up front. Let's enable our tech community to be prepared. Let them know you're having some difficulties or what you want to talk about so they have the right information ready to go. Also, use data to make those proof points, like, i.e., X amount of time something didn't work as expected. If your projects aren't on track, what are those short wins you can make to get those there? Contracts can always be updated and modified. Let's just get to a common ground. And then if there's new work, you know, what are the benefits and who will manage the project? That's the most important thing. So anyways, good luck. I'm excited to see a whole bunch of our listeners next week at NBA National and looking forward to our Hot Topic segment today.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of the Waze thing, I was in an Uber driver who did the Kung Fu guy. He goes, oh, you got to turn off right now. If you don't, oh, you're such an idiot. You missed the turn. It was hilarious.
Oh, I was
in the backseat just cracking a gut. It was so funny. Listen to the guy. Where did you download? Yeah, I did. I gave him a 5 stars. I said, this is so entertaining. He says, oh, yeah, you got to hear some of the stuff. He says, some of it can get a little explicit. So Waze is out there. I mean, I think it's that interactivity. So I'm looking forward to having you participate in the Hot Topic. Both of our guests do an awesome job in connecting with consumers and mortgage professionals and consumers. So we're excited to have you be a part of it if you can. So good job. Folks, I was in Chicago this last week with our friends Finastra. We're grateful for their sponsorship. Third largest fintech company in the world. And their MortgageBot mobile delivers app-like experience. It is, I got to tell you, you can brand it to your brand, your fonts, your color schemes. It's your business. It is such a powerful tool. And I'm getting reports from clients that have taken on and brought in the MortgageBot app and starting to use it as a POS. And it's making such a difference for them. Go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, under advertisers. See the great video that I recorded with Dan Putney and Eric Schwab. It's really some powerful stuff, guys. If you're looking for a solution, check out finastra.com. Profit Doctor Andy Schell, good to have you here in the house. Andy and I had barbecue on Saturday. Great lunch. Always fun. Can I tell them about what you're launching out to do now, your second? Can we talk about that a little bit? I think it's so exciting.
Sure.
Andy is going for his second PhD, folks. What the heck? Overachiever plus.
No, am I crazy or what? Well, the thing about it is my first PhD is in strategy, all about business strategy, tons and tons and tons and tons of detail. But the thing about it is you can have an amazing strategic plan, but if you're not effective in communicating the plan to the world, to the employees, to the shareholders, to the investors, then it's all for naught. Great strategic plans fail because of a failed communication. So the second PhD is in strategic communication specifically. So I'm excited about it. It's already super interesting, and it's really fun.
Very good. Very excited. What you got for Profit Doctor segment today?
So here you go, Dave. You know, part of being effective in communication is telling a story. We all know this. This isn't new news. The problem is that when we talk about financial results, we talk about numbers. We talk about columns of numbers. And we look at these columns of numbers, and, you know, we'd rather be at the dentist having a tooth pulled. But it doesn't need to be like that. Financial results tell a story. And to an accountant, the financial results tell a vibrant story. The problem is accountants then don't translate what they see into a communication style that's understandable to people who aren't CPAs. You know, people like to be socialized. People like to receive messages in a pleasant fashion, you know, pictures of puppy dogs. And so we in accounting need to tell the financial results story. So the financial results talk about what happened and on our journey. It's like a road trip. It tells us what we did in September. They tell us about the successes. They tell about the unmet expectations. They tell about what each person in the company did. So did every person achieve their goal for September? So we can talk about that as part of the collaborative effort as a company to achieve a common goal. So, and each person's experience is part of the story. So it becomes this kind of ingrained, collapsed process where everybody is part of the team and everybody contributes to the team. It's already like that, depending upon the degree to which the corporate culture embraces that. But the financial results story is based on what people were able to accomplish. And so We need to talk about the good things. We need to talk about the things that could be improved. All this needs to be part of our dialogue about accounting. It's not just a column of numbers. It's a story about the activity of the company for the past month. It's a story of the company for the past 8 months, 9 months, 10 months. You know, it's all about how did we get here? And the financial results tell you that story, but we don't, accounting doesn't do a very good job generally explaining that. That's why in the webinars that I teach, I talk about charts and graphs and speaking in English and don't use words that people don't understand. So part of the problem is that in the CPA world, you're actually taught to write with a vernacular that's indecipherable to others. But that's not what I think the role of a CFO is. The role of a CFO is to communicate, to find ways to say yes, to find ways to explain the outcome. And then when we think about the financial results, we think about the story of our company, we also need to think about, well, what's next? What are we going to do in the rest of 2019? What are we going to do in 2020? What's going to happen? It's like planning a family vacation. We need to think about the details of our road trip that we're going on each month, each week, each day. What are the steps in the journey of our road trip, of our company's trip into the future? We need to think about who gets to sit next to the window, who has to sit next to grandma. You know, these questions are things that come up that we need to think about, understand, and apply into our business. So we're going to identify the activities of our company. We're going to identify the things that make our company successful. We're going to come up with ways to describe those things in a way that's understandable to people. People will pay attention when it's a story. People will pay attention and be super engaged when they're part of the story. So this is why I'm a big advocate of CFOs having business reviews for every single branch of a company. Talk about it. How did it go? What happened? Make the story. Come up with the details and explain the story. And have it be a dialogue, not be one way or the other. So the key is turning accounting information into and financial forecast into telling a story. And this is actually where, just from a practicality perspective, this is some place where you have a distinction between the controller position and the CFO position and the people that sit in those seats. So the controller is usually a hardcore accountant, really, really knows the numbers. The CFO is typically a little bit more of a finance guy. Guy meaning genderless, anybody, men, women. Yep. I guess there's another category for that too, but I'm not going to go there. So, yeah, the CFO is the guy, that the person, the employee that communicates. So typically that's how that works. The CFO has the skill set, the communication skill set to tell the story more than just, here's the numbers, you know, make it be a story. Content matters for sure, but delivery matters more. So there you go, Dave.
Good job. PhD in communications, along with a strategy and the CFO, CPA, my. He's the only guy that has more letters behind his name than in the letters in his name. It's crazy. Love it. CMB. Appreciate it. I appreciate it. It's great having lunch with you, my friend. For those of you that are listening live, this is the end of our weekly update. And for those of you who are listening live, just stay right on here. But for those of you who are listening on a downloaded basis, the next thing that should be coming up, or the next program, will be the Hot Topic, which we're now going to get into. On today's Hot Topic, I'm so excited to have two outstanding communicators. They don't have PhDs, but they do it as well as if they did have PhDs. We have Ryan Hills of resource.tv, and now is also the top revenue guy for all of Movement Mortgage. Of course, we put that out there, Ryan. You're going to start getting recruited like crazy. And then also Dave Savage from Mortgage Coach. And I am so excited to have both these guys. These guys are social media geniuses, communication geniuses, and they each have a unique approach. And I just want to say welcome to both of you to the Lickin' on Lending podcast, my friends.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Yeah, a couple of guys. You guys, there's a long pause for two guys who are bubbly and outgoing. You were being so polite with each other there. So anyway, Ryan Hill, I want to start off with you, and then we're going to get into David. By the way, the background, folks, if you have not watched the Mortgage Coach video where the three of us got interviewed, and David, who did you have interview us? What's the gal that did that? She did such an awesome job.
Yeah, Kristen definitely did a fantastic job. She was the mediator of that conversation, and she killed it.
She killed it, and it was impossible because it's like a runaway train. You get three of us with our personalities on a podcast, on a video. It was crazy. And then Ryan was up in the mountains with some terrible video. And then, you know, it was just a great time. It was really good. Anyway, Ryan, David, good to have you here. Ryan, I want to start off with you. A lot of people are watching Resource TV, RE, Real Estate Source TV, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Yep.
You have really established a really powerful brand. You've been doing that, I think we've all been doing this now, for 10 years. I want to get into what was the genesis, what was the catalyst that made you or encouraged you to start RE Source TV?
Oh, well, thanks for those kind words and great question. It's the old saying, necessity is the mother of invention. So the genesis of the RE Source was over 10 years ago, with the last Great Recession. I was fairly young in the business. I'll try to tell the story quick. Didn't have a lot of realtors, and I didn't have a gigantic database to really rely on. So I was sitting there looking at my desk, and I had a bunch of loans that used to be loans, but now they're not, and wondered how I was going to move forward because I wasn't going to quit. And so I had to figure out a different approach. Again, I didn't have a ton of realtors and a big database to rely on. So I had to figure out, okay, what am I going to do to stay relevant? And that's the question that I continue to ask myself every day, 10 years later. So we started a small little video show that was watched in a little town called Puyallup, Washington. And the original intent was just to try to stay relevant. And, you know, about a year or two into it, you know, and it wasn't great back then. And nothing's great. The version 1.0 is never the best. And so we continued to refine. And then, got our first big break when the National Real Estate Post started picking up our stuff. We started guest hosting on that show. So it went from a small town show to a nationwide watched product, which is still running today. We have a show that's being hosted right now on the National Real Estate Post. And we have our own on the resource.tv running simultaneously. So
started small and grew, and someone who does an amazing job. You've got Ryan Christensen. I love the story where you and I and Ryan were sitting around the table together up at the Lenders One reception up in Seattle. And you looked at Ryan, you said, there's not room for two Ryans. You're now RC. That cracked me up. It's so true. And then what you guys have done together is you've turned out such quality. You just raised the bar, Ryan, in such a major way. Talk a little bit about
Ryan's a big
RC.
Part of that story.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Savage knows RC, and, you know, he's been with us since day one. You know, he had to teach himself how to build a website and how to edit. This is all self-taught stuff, guys. We just jumped in front of camera, you know, started writing shows. We had to build our own website. You know, RC's had to teach himself how to build phone apps. And now, even today, you know, I used to be the young guy, and now I'm not so much anymore. And so there's even newer brands coming out, pushing us to be even better. So we continue to evolve. And so I'm so blessed to have RC on the team. I'm a big, loyal guy. And so we've been together really since day one. And a lot of my team professionally have been together over a decade as well, which I'm super proud of because in our industry, that's not very typical.
Very unheard of, yeah. Well, a lot of people will leap off of someone like you, and they get known, and they run out there. And I'm so grateful to guys like Paul King on my side and RC on your side who just find a team, and they stay with the team. It's so good. And speaking of team, we've got David Savage here. Every time I think you always clap your hands, you go, hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Savage, and you introduce your guest. I love your style. And, I mean, you look at Ryan's way Ryan does it, David. It's high produced, high, and he's always pushing it. And yours, you might say, in contrast, as is mine, is probably not as produced at the same level, but you bring so much, as does Ryan with his personality. I'm just always a little jealous of what RC does for him on the production side, but you bring so much personality and sincerity and believability when you come on the camera, David. I mean, you've done some really big interviews. Sue Woodard, Garth Barry, Ken Perry, Tim Davis. I mean, the list goes on and on, and I've had a chance to be there. Bill Hart, I love it. In fact, we had a photobomb when we were doing ours. Bill Hart stuck his face in the middle because he was up with Ryan when we were doing that together. But David, talk about when you started this. How long ago was it? You spent 10 years as well, isn't it? Pretty close? Or longer?
Yeah, it's actually been a little over 12 years. It was coming
out of the
meltdown. Yeah, so it was, you know, coming out of the meltdown, I learned really clearly who is using Mortgage Coach technology and who's not. And as a technologist, one thing that I learned is that technology is powerful, but leadership is more powerful. You know, it was a time in the industry where there was, I don't want to say not a lot of leadership, but there wasn't a lot of sales meetings taking place. Leadership mm-hmm. wasn't standing up and kind of saying, hey, here's the path forward. And so I started, you know, like the first goal was every Tuesday, 9 o'clock, I'm going to put on the best sales meeting. And in the entire mortgage industry, and not because it was me, but because I would identify top producers, people that are killing it in the market yes. at that time, and just interview them. So, you know, that was what gave me the seed to start, you know, creating content using social media and leveraging video.
Well, that's one of the reasons I want to have both of you on this podcast. Ours is directed towards the C-suite, to those that run a more the operational side of it. When you look at our demographics, it kind of gives indication that we have a lot of people that are running on the ops side, the executive side, the executive wing of the industry. And I want all of them to hear about what you guys are doing. You guys are pretty well known. You've got a huge following in both cases. But it's largely in the loan originator area. And I think, David, I mean, let's hear about your audience in a minute, Ryan. But, David, your audience crossing over into the executive suite. But you have, because where your roots are, you started featuring top mortgage professionals, I mean, originator professionals. Talk about that audience. Talk about your audience and how that's really helped them grow. Any stories you have behind that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no doubt the main audience at Mortgage Coach is either a top producing mortgage professional or a want to be top producing mortgage coach or sales professional. Now, there's no doubt, you know, heads of production, branch managers, regional sales leaders will leverage our content to use in their content. So I hear all the time branch managers and regionals that are like, hey, I take content from the Mortgage Coach community and I build a message around that. We do create some content exclusively for the C-suite. Because, you know, you got to yeah. lead from the top down and you got to lead from the bottom up. But usually when I'm interviewing someone, it's to help a producer gain the confidence and clarity to be more successful as a salesperson, whether that's effectively having great conversations with borrowers and being an advisor to a borrower, or whether that's, you know, recruiting realtors and building, you know, more successful relationships, more productive relationships with agents. Is typically the, you know, the audience and the content.
That's good. Ryan, talk about your audience. You appeal to, I mean, RE, real estate, obviously you're appealing to a mm-hmm. large group of realtors as well. You're drawing them in. That was originally why you started getting out and doing it. Talk about your audience a bit. And then, by the way, I want to get our regulars two teamed up. So, Alice, we're going to be coming to you. Then I'm going to go to Alan and Joe. Andy had to drop, so that's the order we'll go in. So get ready with some of your questions. Go ahead. Talk about your audience.
It's actually evolved kind of organically as I have, you know, grown up in the mortgage business myself. So originally it was just realtors, as I told the story. It evolved to, you know, other lenders, competitors, oddly enough, were like, hey, this is pretty good stuff. I'll watch. And so organically, you know, probably 3 years in, it was 50-50 realtors and lenders. It's never been branded. It's always been your resource. It's content that can be shared with anybody. And now as I, you know, evolve into the executive level, it's actually been just like Dave, you know, we have content that's geared towards the C-suite as well. And so, you know, we don't monetize the show. One of the best payoffs I can get, and I hear it quite often, and it's like a huge payoff for me, is when a regional and area CEO will say, hey, love that show, just send it out to the entire organization. That's a huge payoff.
A
I love that. You know, and it goes out to 300, 400, 500 associates from the top of the house. So it's great. It pushes me because I gotta create, you know, relevant content for both, you know, loan officers, realtors, and a C-suite. So it's a tougher job, but, you know, I love it. You know, just this week did a lot of research on 2019 projections versus where they landed from both NAR and MBA, and we recap that in a, you know, 4-minute show, and also finish that show this week with bold predictions for 2020. So that's this week's show. A lot of research went into that. So kind of to my point, it goes both to realtors and to loan officers in the C-suite.
Ryan, how much preparation do you put in for 4 minutes? Is it like an hour per minute?
Yeah, it's actually one of the slide decks I have when I speak that I'm staring at because it comes up so often. It's not, you know, 10 years later, I kind of have it perfected to where it's not like this big, you know, huge pain in the you know what. So, you know, it's just top of mind throughout the whole week. And so starting Monday, like today, I'll start consuming as much relevant content from all the media sources as I can. And that could be, you know, while I'm, you know, driving, I'm listening to a great show like this one, or reading like Housing Wire or something like that. But throughout the week, I'll consume almost, I don't know, 50, 60 stories. I'll distill that down because I write on Friday. We shoot on Friday. RC and the rest of the team will produce the rest of Friday. But by Friday morning, I'll have an idea between those, you know, 50 to 60 stories that I'll distill down to two or three.
Wow.
And then kind of make that the RE Source short show that's 3 to 4 minutes long. And that'll release every Monday morning out to the industry.
Yeah, your website is theresource.tv, folks, if you want to check it out. Really well produced. David, when it comes to production, how much time do you put into it?
Well, I mean, I've been in the mortgage business my whole life. So I'm interviewing top producers. I do as little prep as possible. And not because I'm either lazy or I want to shortcut the content, but I really want these to be in the trenches, real-world conversations. So there's really zero prep. And every once in a while, I might have like 15 minutes of prep with someone just so we kind of know the direction of the conversation.
Yeah, I think so all three of us have very different formats, but they're all working, obviously, very, very well, because all three of us have really decent audiences. Alice, let's get over to you. What questions come to mind as we're doing this?
Well, yeah, Dave, I mean, really, you guys were just on where my question was. And Dave, like you mentioned, there's multiple audiences out there. You each have different targets, or like you said earlier, Dave, you overlap a little. But I would really love to know what you find is the type of content that is truly winning and driving business for loan originators today. So, right, people are listening to you all and how you've been successful. They want to not only learn from your products, but learn how to translate themselves into successful social media, you know, information that they want to deliver. So what to you is the top thing that's really winning and resonating with consumers today?
Yeah, well, when you say consumers, you mean my content, the content that I'm creating and is winning for loan officers, right?
I mean,
that's the question. Yeah, so I mean, I think anytime I can combine a story and a strategy, you know, and so usually the story is, hey, this loan officer, I often mention the, you know, the city and town they're in, this loan officer, this city, this town is closing this many loans. So boom, story, success, and they're doing X strategy. You know, one of my all-time most watched interviews is with Jeremy Forcier, where it's the five questions Jeremy asks in every realtor meeting, you know, first realtor meeting. So he's a story. That's a strategy. That's a formula that loan officers want. You know, and I will say the more you can turnkey it, like I'm always trying to, okay, there's a story, there's a strategy. Now give me a script so that they can just pull something really usable out of the conversation. They like that a lot.
Ryan, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, I view my job as the host of the RE Source as really to be looking forward to be hopefully educating, sometimes entertaining, you know, our audience, real estate and lending. So if you look at our last five shows, we talked about, again, everything must be relevant. If, you know, I'll be scrapping shows right at the last minute if I don't think it's relevant enough. And so we always prioritize, is this current? Is it relevant? Or is there going to be value out here? And so iBuyer has been a hot topic. You know, how do we respond to the iBuyer, the new competition coming in? So we've had quite a few interviews, quite
really
a few shows
topic.
On that. You know, how do you compete with the Redfins of the world and the Quickens and a lot of the new, you know, we talked about technology earlier. There's a huge race out there to try to touch our consumers first. And there's a lot of organizations with gigantic budgets that are spending millions and millions of dollars to try to get to our consumers first. Well, how does the originator, you know, the loan originator at the street level compete with that? We talk about that. So the short answer for us is we're always going to try to be looking ahead for the entire industry. You know, loan officers and realtors are out there, got their head down as they should, trying to find business for the RE Source. We're going to be trying to look ahead, let you know what's coming, try to give you some insight on that, pull in professionals like yourself and Savage and, you know, Bill Hart to go, hey, here's another perspective. And so we'll do masterclass interviews similar to Savage's brilliant strategy. Just in a smaller scale. So that's kind of how I view the audience and what I really decide to speak about every week.
It's Good. It's good.
Hey,
Alex,
can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, jump in, please. Yeah,
I just want to, because I'm a fan. I mean, Ryan's a friend. I've been on the show. I've interviewed him. But I'm a fan of his show. And the reason I'm a fan is because every time I watch that show, like, I don't know how much time he spends on it, but I feel like I get 5 minutes of value. The boy's got a cool song going. You know, it is educational knowledge. And I feel like it saved me hours of content, you know, like, cause I read and I want to stay current, but like every time I jump into that show, I know that someone who's super successful, super smart, been in the mortgage business their whole life, has put a lot of love and hours into it. And I get, you know, 5 to 7 minutes of just boom. Oh, that's interesting. So it is. I see it as a time saver. And I do like, you know, just the edutainment style that you guys do it in, right?
Yep.
It's an awesome show.
Alice, you are the one that introduced me to the concept of edutainment some time ago. The way you do training is very much down that line.
Well, I love what you guys said. So I think I'm all set with my questions because I hope everybody picked up on that. You know, if you're going to educate, it's got to be relevant and be value added. And I love the save me time and put together the story and the strategy. Great notes for takeaways for our listeners.
Yeah, and especially with what you and Bill are doing, attracting the millennials into Union Home, I got to tell you, it's got to have a component of edutainment about it. I mean, it's got to have value, great content, but it's got to have that. So true. Alan Pollack, good to have you here, Mr. Tech himself. What questions do you have for our guests?
Oh, man, I don't know where to start. No, I'm just kidding. So I've got some good ones for you guys. You know, as much as we continue to build these audiences, and as much as people participate and share the story and what they learn and what they think, there's still a lot of me toos, right? And those are the folks that just don't know where to start, or they're living vicariously through everybody else. So for the me toos that are out there, what and this is for both of you to answer, really I'm interested in what you're seeing as the trend and what you think a top producer would say if he was holding a seminar, which you guys both bring top producers into your stories and how you talk to your audiences. But I'm just curious, you know, because technology is sometimes not available to loan officers. They have to go by with what their company provides, or they have to spend X amount of dollars. So I think that Me Too world is looking to learn more. So what would you share today to them?
David, let's start with you.
Well, there are originators that don't have access to technology for different reasons. I'm not going to speak to that because I do think enough of the population has access to video. You know, they've got a smartphone. You know, you can start with one-to-one.
That's a great point.
You know, send a text video to a real estate agent. You know, send a text video to a borrower. So I think everybody has a smartphone and everybody can create content. And now, again, in respect to anyone who's listening to this, absolutely check with your, you know, your compliance team and your guidelines and follow them clearly. So anything I'm saying is not saying, hey guys, these are like issues that you don't need to get clear with your company. But I just think, you know, leading, you know, and here's one that I think is a big miss in the mortgage industry. LinkedIn, you know, I see it used a lot for recruiting in the mortgage industry. So, you know, most of the people building leadership brands on LinkedIn are doing it to recruit their loan officers. But every loan officer in America, you know, wants to get referrals from, I call it the wealth team, which is a CPA, a financial planner, a realtor in their local market. Be active on LinkedIn, you know, create content, consume content, engage with the people that are using LinkedIn in your local markets. There might be some compliance issue there that I'm unaware of, but that's something that anybody and everybody should do. And then I think being active and creating digital friends, you know, like Ryan, you know, they've done a great job of building this whole community of our resource, started with, you know, a YouTube channel and email, and now they've got a Facebook channel. And I can't imagine that anything that they're doing, they have to be thoughtful around what are the compliance do's and don'ts, but you got an iPhone or an Android phone, and you've got these, you know, these social media platforms that make it easy to broadcast that and build communities in your markets.
Yeah. Just before you jump in, Ryan, David, that was really important. A couple of things you said, and I just wanted to bring something up. There's something brand new. We see these all the time. It's called 2018. This one's 2018, actually, every minute of every day. And there were 120 new LinkedIn professionals that joined every minute, 4.3 million YouTube watches per minute. And then the numbers just, you know, across every social media channel you can think of. So those just continue to expand. So you're right. It's as simple as recording a video of yourself and unique or just direct ways to share it. That was a great point.
Yeah, or text on LinkedIn. I just posted an interview on our IGTV. That's a new initiative that Mortgage Coach is having a channel, and I interviewed this young millennial, Natalie Risso, who coming out of college had the most LinkedIn followers. It was like 250,000. And listen to that. Like, it's called LinkedIn 101 with Natalie Risso, but it's mind-boggling what mortgage professionals can do, you know, using their iPhones.
Yeah, so good.
And LinkedIn.
So powerful. Yep. Ryan.
A lot to unpack there. I agree with Savage on the LinkedIn as well. We just made a pivot ourselves to take advantage of what Savage is talking about there. I love the comments about kind of compliance and regulation on this topic. I think it could be an entire show for you to discuss the regulation and compliance around leveraging tools like video and social, YouTube, Facebook, because sometimes I think we tend to mock what we don't understand. So I don't know that compliance has caught up. And just speaking for the originator here, it's an important topic, compliance and regulation, but we need to figure out how to enable, we talked about that earlier, enable the loan officer with some of the technology. As far as, hey, I'd like to do that as well, kind of the original question, you know, again, Savage is such a good example of content being king. It's a talk that we've given and traveled across the country. Content is king, guys. So you don't have to have a highly produced show like the RE Source. You know, we take pride in that. No matter what we do, it's going to be the cleanest audio and video that you're ever going to see with hopefully the best writing. That's my job. We say hopefully. But you have great content.
It doesn't have to be.
Thank you. It doesn't have to be highly produced. Half of our show, and I'm proud to say, I'm looking at our stats on YouTube, and this is not to necessarily brag, but to hopefully encourage people to leverage more video and social. We have 2.3 million minutes spent consuming our content on YouTube. To put that in perspective, you'd have to pay a person to watch our show 24/7, 7 days a week for over 4 years to equal 2.3 million minutes. That's a lot of time being consuming our content. Half of that, guys, was shot with like the worst video that you've ever seen. I don't even know that we had a microphone. Now, it didn't come until much later.
So true. Prioritize
content over production. Production's important, but content's king. And again, you know, everybody's got a different audience. We talked about ours. And if you're a realtor or lender, you have a different audience. So just prioritize what they want to hear, what they need to hear, and prioritize the content. Production will come down the road. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's good help. Very, very helpful. Joe, before I get over to you, I want to share one comment. David Kittle, who's one of the founders of TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative, was calling. He and I are good friends. We were talking the other day. He also consults with me and some stuff in the consulting business. And David would say, Dave, one of the biggest frustrations I've got going on right now is people are not returning phone calls. It's terrible. And I said, got a solution for you. I said, Dave Savage, you and I sent this statistic over to you. 20% of emails are opened. 20%. 98% of text messages are open. And then if you add a video to the text message, it is over the top. So I said, hey, said Kittle, here's what your solution is. I literally, while I was talking to him, held up my phone, recorded a video as if he wasn't returning my phone call, shot it to him. He burst out laughing. And he said he started using that. If you want to get customers, you want to get your relationship, the people in your relationship, just text out a video. Make it personal. That's content. It may not be produced at the Ryan level, at what RE Source TV, but it's communicating effectively. It's so, so important, and it's there. And just that's why I love what you guys are doing on video. Let's get over to Joe Farr. The show, we got to wrap this up, Joe, but I want to give you some time to get in here with some comments and questions.
Just a real quick question for Dave. I was on your website, Dave, and I noticed this thing called My Nest. It's not something I'm familiar with. Is that something you want to talk about?
It's a project we rolled out a year ago. It's a cool app for home buyers. Probably don't want to, have a launch conversation, but guys, you can download it in the Apple store or the Android store. And if you're a home buyer and you want a cool tool, that think of it as like a real estate camera as you walk around the house, it helps you, you know, build out your MyNest experience. So cool app, and thanks for drawing some attention to it, Jeff.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, so guys, as we wrap this up, what are some takeaways that you would like our audience to know? First of all, C-suite listeners or those on the ops side of the business, start taking a listen to these videos. You want to learn what the originators are saying as well as what's going on. Listen to these guys and their content that they put out on such a regular basis. So let's get into it. Ryan, talk about what are the takeaways you'd want the C-suite to be knowing about what you're doing.
I'm going to stay true to who I am. So every show I always end with a challenge, and I'll do the same with the C-suite. That trickles down to regionals and loan officers. The industry, you talked about the NBA earlier, received a $300 billion gift in unpredicted volume. We all know that's refinance volume. So that was great.
Yep.
We had a lot of great volumes and years this year, but we all know that that will not be there in the future. So my bold prediction I made this week on the show is that whatever number your company did, 16 billion, 5 billion, and whatever number the individual loan officer did, say 100 transactions, I believe that it's going to be, I don't know if it's twice as difficult, but I'll land there, twice as difficult to do exactly what you did next year that you did this year. So the important question and the challenge is, what are you going to do differently to ensure that you at least stay on par and not grow next year?
That's good. Good challenge. I love the challenges you put at the end of each one of your videos. So good. Thought-provoking. David Savage, words of wisdom for our audience?
Yeah, so in speaking directly to the C-suite, you know, I've been, you know, an advocate for loan officers who want to thrive in the future and make the next 10 years better than the last 10 years. They need to leverage technology, and they need to deliver tangible advice. And the industry needs to upgrade. They need to upgrade their skills with how they actually deliver advice, not just price. And they need to upgrade the skills of leveraging technology to do that. And so I think of the content we create, you know, it's not content, it's leadership. It's inspiring mortgage professionals, and it's teaching them what to do and how to do it. And so I would just call out there to the, you know, the C-suite, the mortgage industry, content is leadership. And you need to identify the stories within your organizations that are winning and shine a light on them. You need to bring in stories from outside of it. That's why I'm always just within the mortgage coach community of mortgage pros, which is 34% of the loan officers that close over 100 loans a year.
Wow.
Find great stories, shine a light on them with content, because that's leadership. Technology is great, but if it's not used, it doesn't drive ROI, it doesn't drive profitability, it doesn't drive production. So I think everybody needs to, I don't want to like be Mr. Gary Vee, but everybody needs to take a leadership role, and it's never been easier to do it between video and social.
Yeah, I watched a YouTube video with Gary Vee talking at the AIM conference in Vegas, and he was talking about, you know, if you're not creating a camera and a ridiculous amount of content, I thought we were posting too much. It's like over the top. He says, and most of you aren't even doing an entire year what you need to be doing in a week. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
But his macro message is spot on. You know, you need to create content that inspires your sales force, and you need to deliver training that upgrades their skills. We love to help you do it. But everybody needs to get after it in this market.
Yep. And I want to call attention to Mortgage Coach content, the stuff, not only the content on the videos, but your product, David. It's outstanding stuff. We're talking about video content, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to really give a real shout out to the whole Mortgage Coach product line of what you do and all the resources you have available to help people in their business. Appreciate both of you being here today. I heard this as you were just both were talking. I heard create content or creator. Create content or creator. You know, business could create if you're not creating content. Listen, these guys are great leaders, especially in the video world. These guys got it. Ryan, David, thank you so much for taking time to be here with us this week. Appreciate it, man.
So good to be here.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And we're going to be putting a link to the YouTube video that we did. It's called 10 Years of Media, Technology, and Content. We're going to be putting it in the show notes. You can go check out that YouTube video. So in the show notes as well. I want to say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Joe, Allen for making their content each and every week. Next week, we're going to have Chris McEntee, the president of ICE Mortgage Services. They're the ones that bought MERS. They're the ones that bought Simplifile. They're the ones that are doing some things behind the scene, folks. You've got to be paying attention to what they're doing. Anyway, be sure to come here next week. It's going to be pre-recorded. We're not going to be doing a live podcast because we're at the conference, and so we'll be coming in. But we'll be doing a podcast, as always. Special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage Finastra, Rezek Warehouse Lending, MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, as well as Velma, Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and AI Assist. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have a great week, and look forward to seeing you back here next week or at the conference.
You've been listening to Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.